This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Jason and Liz Burns in Access Church in Lakeland and Bartow, Florida. For more information, visit access.tv.
Come on, I'm pumped that you're here, pumped to be here with you and to be able to share today. If we've never met, my name is Isaiah, and so I get to serve at our North Lakeland location. And if you did not know, I'd appreciate that. Thank you. If you didn't know that our church is just one church, but it just meets in three physical locations, and it's incredible. And so right now, come on, can we greet our Bartow fam and our North Lakeland church fam and everybody online? Yeah, man, we're so pumped that you are joining us wherever you're at, and so we're so pumped that you're here. And I say this in North Lakeland all the time, and I say that, listen, if you're looking for a church home, I feel and I hope that you feel that your church search is over and that this is home for you, because it's home to so many of us, and we love what God is doing. And so I do have to lead in with that. I don't want to skip that over. North Lakeland is going so well, and everyone always asks me, hey, how's it been going? And we're almost at 1 year, everybody. Can you believe that? 1 year at North Lakeland is incredible. Again, we love you, North Lakeland, and so God's doing some incredible things. And I think the big highlight for me is each and every week, somebody takes a next step in their relationship with Jesus, and that's worth celebrating. Come on, all over the room, would you celebrate that? Come on. That's worth it, and that's what we do this for. So I'm just pumped to be here. Let's get it started up in here. You got those message notes. I say this all the time in North Lakeland, that we are a note-taking church. And if you're online with us this morning, if you're worshiping with us online, you can find those message notes right there as well. But get those notes. Do me a favor here. If you're here in the room, would you wave those notes in the air like you just do care? Let me just see. Make sure you got them. All right. All right, perfect. You got them. Take some notes today. This is great. We're in a series that we've entitled Two Lies and a Truth. Everybody say two lies and the truth. If you never heard me speak, if you like talking in church, this is going to be a good day for you. I love when you talk to me. I preach better and shorter when you talk to me. So I don't know what that's worth online. Just enjoy the ride. Here we go. Two lies and the truth. And I thought, you know, as we get started, you know, this is a playoff of that road trip game called Two Truths and a Lie. You remember that game? Raise your hand if you remember that game. And online, if you're with us, you can raise your hand right where you are. Maybe you're on a road trip right now and you're catching church and you could play this game. It's called Two Truths and a Lie. And it's a really good way to get to know somebody. And so I thought we'd begin today. Man, we got to share. Let me share a little bit about me through this game, Two Truths and a Lie. Let me give you two truths and a lie. You figure out which one is the lie. Here's the first one. I'm one of eight siblings. Just tuck that away. Do you think that's true or is it a lie? Here's the second one. My dad taught me how to drive. All right. And here's the third one. I love. So judging by my reaction, and the fact that I didn't even say who this is, which one do you think is the lie? Come on, I hate the Michigan Wolverine. O-A-I-O, baby. Anybody? O-H? Anybody? A couple of let's go. It's going to be a good day. And if you're online with us, man, it's going to be a good day. I just want to say this, we're just the reigning champs. You know, college football is around the corner. And so if you're online worshiping with us from the state of Michigan, I think, find another church. But anyway. I'm just stay with us. We love you. I'm just playing. But that's the lie in this. Let's try this again. Let's go. All skate, all play, round two. Here it is. I played college basketball at Southeastern University here in Lakeland. That could be true. It could be not. What you think? Is it true or is it a lie? Here we go. Here's the second one. I can do basic car repairs. And I'm kind of giving it away a little bit. My thing is, listen, I'm jumping ahead, because my thing is this, like, that's somebody else's gifting, that's somebody else's talent, that's somebody else's purpose, and so AAA. Anyway, here's the third one. I love cheese. Which one do you think is the lie? I'm going to help you out. They're all a lie. I actually failed at the basketball tryout. I do not do anything with cars, and I don't like cheese. I think cheese is appropriate on some things, but some of y'all are just nasty. I mean, you just put cheese on everything. Some people eat cheese plain. I don't know if you're with us. Maybe Bartow, maybe somebody's there in Bartow, and you eat cheese plain. That's just nasty. And so, anyway, that's the game. But let me go. Let's talk serious. Let's talk business. Let's make it happen. Let's get to our series, Two Lies and a Truth. Here's what we've been doing each and every week of this series. We've been looking at what are some of the lies that we believe, and then how can we smash those lies with the truth. And I think this one is pretty easy. This is an alley-oop of all alley-oops. You can get this one. Here it is. God doesn't care about my everyday life. God cares about people, but not me personally. God cares about every part of your life. Now, this should be an alley-oop. This should be an easy one. But if you didn't catch this, the truth in this is that God cares about every part of your life. But oftentimes we get caught up into this lie that God cares about people, but not me personally, and God doesn't really care about my everyday life. To get us started, I thought about this, that, you know, have you ever been in an airport? If you've been in an airport, you know it's a very interesting place. And so I pulled a picture of the airport just to put your mind there, just to set you there. And so at the airport, if you've ever been in the airport, you meet a lot of interesting people. Okay, I like people watching at the airport. I don't know if you're like me. You don't have to self-identify, but I know who you are. But I like watching people at the airport. You have so many different types of people when you get there. When you get to the airport, I'm the type of guy, I kind of like to get there at least a little bit early just so I can sit down a little bit. And I know I'm going to be sitting on the plane, but I just like to just be there, you know, a little bit early. And so you just see, if you just people watch, then you'll see that there's a lot of interesting people. You have servicemen and women that are traveling to and fro. And I'm not the best at this, but I try to, if I ever see them in uniform, I try to tell them thank you for serving and things like that. You see, the people I feel really bad for. I feel really bad for like the single parents that are traveling with kids. It's like kids in one hand, carry-ons in the other, and they just look so stressed out. And I hate seeing that, but it's just like, hey, they're doing what they do. And I've seen people, you can always tell when someone's in love when they're at the airport, you know, like two people, they can't keep their hands off each other. It's just like, oh, golly, get a room. But that's just how it is. And true story, let me divert real quick. True story, years ago, I officiated a wedding out of state. And I did not know this. This was a surprise to me. I didn't know this. But the next day, I got on my flight to fly home, and that couple was on my same flight. Now, this may not be laughable to you, but it was kind of laughable to me because when I saw them, I was like, oh, man, I know what y'all did last night. But it was just crazy. I know, I need help. I really do. And I'm trying to be better, you know, but it's just like sometimes but it was just like the look on their face, I was just like, yeah, I'm not even going to acknowledge them. But you see that, right? At the airport, you see newlyweds that are all over each other. You see people that are dressed, you know, in their business attire that look really good and all of that. You see all these different things. And I've also seen people to the opposite. I've seen people at the airport just like sobbing. And you really never know, you know, why somebody's traveling. Maybe they're traveling for a reason that they really would rather not be traveling for, but they're traveling. I've seen people that it like looks like, okay, like you need to go cry. Like some people, it looks like they're like holding it in. I've seen people there too that some people are just strange. They're at the airport with their shoes and socks off. I'm like, what are we doing here? Like some people you see, you're like, man, it's 9 a.m. I don't know if you should be drinking that much or at all at this time, but it's just, it's everywhere. And when you're there at the airport, it goes through these phases of just being like hectic and chaotic and kind of crazy. People are kind of moving around. But here's what I realized. I realized that when I'm at the airport, none of that really bothers me. There's a lot of stuff happening and people are moving here and there and everywhere, but none of that really bothers me because I don't care. If I'm honest, like I'm just focused on my flight, my connection, my world, like what I got to do, and I'm not really worried about them. And I tell you this, I lead with this because I think for so many of us, this is our posture of God. That he's in heaven and he can look down at everything that's happening on the earth. He can look at you and me and people across our world and he sees everything. He sees all the galaxies. He sees all of this. He's there, but he's not aware and he doesn't really care. Like there's no feeling on his end. I think that's a false. I think that's a lie. But oftentimes we assume this is how God operates. That he's there, but he's detached. He's there, but he's distant. In 2015, there was a man who did an article, and they published it in the New York Times, and the article was entitled Googling for God. And in this, he did some research to figure out, okay, when people are Googling things about God, questions about God, he found that there were he picked out the top three, and he wrote an article about it. I want to give you those top three because I think it's incredible. Here's the first one, who created God? I think that's a valid question, and he found that people all over the United States were, when they were Googling about God, they were trying to figure out, okay, who created God? Here's the second one. Why does God allow suffering? Solid question, good question. People want to know. But here's the one that stuck out to me. The number three question that year was, why does God hate me? This is a crazy question until you've been there. And I want to ask you this question. Have you ever been there? Have you ever felt like God really doesn't care about you? You see, in life sometimes will push you to the place where you feel as though God simply doesn't care. And have you been there? talking to some people in North Lakeland. I don't know, have you ever been to that place where you feel like, man, God, do you care? The sudden loss or the tragic loss of a loved one can put you in this place where you feel like, God, do you care? When you feel like I'm doing everything I got to do, I'm grinding, I'm hustling, I'm showing up to work on time, and I'm doing my thing, but God, it seems like I don't have enough money to provide for my kids, for my family. God, do you care? I was at the altar with this person, and now it seems like they don't want anything to do with me, and they want a lot to do with somebody else. They walked out. God, do you care? God, I'm praying for the perfect person to enter my life, but they haven't yet. God, do you care? All you got to do is flip on the news and you'll see heinous acts against vulnerable people in our society. You'll see mass shootings and stabbings. This week, I read of a church in Congo, 49 people bombed at a Christian church that were killed. God, do you care? This is a question that we have to wrestle with. This is the question, really, the question of the day is, does God care? Repeat that to me. Does God care? Does he really care? I think the resounding answer to that question from Scripture, from page one of your Bible to the very end, is a resounding yes. God does care about every single part of your life. Does he care about the details? Yes. Does he care about the highs and the lows and the ups and the downs? Yes, he does care. I love what this religious man said. He's a religious leader out in the west coast of the United States. He said this, that God is perfectly and thoroughly, always and forever good, and everything he does is for our good. I promise you, he doesn't lie awake at night trying to find ways to disappoint us or harm us or crush our dreams or our faith. And I think that's the truth that we have to walk home with today, that yes, God does care. I'll probably say it 10,000 times throughout this message. God care. As a matter of fact, that's the whole title of today's message. If you're online with us and you want to take notes, that's the whole title of the message, is that God does care. We have a Heavenly Father that cares about you. Now here's the reality. It's church, and I'm a pastor here at the church, and so it's like it could be easy. If you're like me, you're sitting in your chair, you're on the beach, wherever you are, you're in Bartow, you're in North Lakeland, wherever you may be, and it's like, man, that's easy to say. Like, you gotta say that. Like, it's church. It's Sunday morning. It's happy. It's the first Sunday of this new month. Come on, you gotta say that. And if you're like me, you feel that way. But you're probably also asking that question. Be more specific. What does God care about? And that's how I think when I'm there, when I'm listening to a message, I'm like, man, be more specific. I want to catch this today, and I want you to catch this today. And here's the good news about God's care, is that it's not generic or vague. It's actually really personal, really intentional, really specific. And so here's what I want to do just for the next few moments that we have together. I just want to look at three specific areas that I feel like God cares about. And they're in your notes for you, and especially if you're online with us, they're in your notes. But let's get to this first one. Here's what it is. God cares about who you are. Yeah, it's easy to say that God cares, but what does he care about? I think when you search the pages of Scripture, you see that God cares about who you are. So today, I love preaching where we get to dive into one passage of Scripture, but today I'm going to kind of maneuver around. I thought it would be a little bit more appropriate today to just kind of move around some Scriptures. First, I want to take us to the writings of David in Psalms. He's a great man. I love the way that David writes, because sometimes he's up and sometimes he's down, sometimes he's all around. That's how I feel. Like, you know, you have good days, you have bad days, and with it all, he shares, he writes, and I think we can take encouragement from his writings. And I love this. Here's what he says in Psalms 139. The whole chapter is beautiful, but there's a few things I want us to see. He says this, you, talking about God, he said, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Stop right here. I love this. What David is saying is that before we ever breathed our first breath here on earth, God knit us together. Here's the Isaiah version. I just say this, your mama carried you, but God formed you. Your mama gave you birth into this world, but God formed and fashioned you. God cares about who you are. Before you even came alive, God knew who you were. Theologian and pastor Warren Wiersbe said it this way, it's in the mother's womb that God weaves and embroiders together a human being. You need to know, you need to take this as encouragement that God doesn't make mistakes. And so when he made you, you were not a mistake. Maybe the situation surrounding your conception and your birth was maybe not the best timing, but God knew what he was doing, and God cares about who you are. Check this out. Just drop down a few more verses. David says it like this. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast the sum of them. If I were to count them up, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Hold it here. I love this. What David is saying is God is always thinking about us because God cares about who we are. And the many thoughts that he has, they're all about us. And I know it's easy. It's easy in this life to think, God, do you care? But the resounding answer is that God cares absolutely about who you are. He knit you together in your mother's womb. And he says, listen, I'm always thinking about you. And I'm always there. I love this. We go to the New Testament. Jesus said this, that even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Hold it here. I don't know if you know this, but I did some research this week. And you have between 100,000 and 150,000 strands of hair on your head. Some of us, maybe not so much, but that's all right. You used to have. Maybe some of us used to. But you have, that's a lot of hair. So even if you just pluck one, God knows the number of it. Even if you just take a handful, God knows, because he cares about who you are. You are a beautiful work of his creation. David also said this. It's not on the screens, but he said this, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. All the hairs on your head are numbered. Jesus said it this way, that not one sparrow can fall from the sky without your Father in heaven knowing. So he absolutely cares about you. He absolutely cares about every single part of that makes up who you are. David also said this, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. God, you did this out of your own hands. What is mankind that you're mindful of them? Human beings that you care. What's this word that you care for them? Hold this here. In other words, what David is simply saying, he's not asking, does God care? He says, God, I know you care. I'm just wondering, like, why do you care? Like, why are we so important to you? What he's saying is, like, when God is in heaven, God can see farther than we'll ever be able to see. God can see all the galaxies. He made everything. And so and when he looks down, earth is small to God. And so even smaller is mankind. But yet God cares about us. This is a beautiful truth. What he's trying to tell you is God cares about who you are. This is true of our God. But the lie would say that he doesn't care and he's distant and he's detached. But the truth of God's word resounds that he absolutely cares. Okay, I wanted you to get this today. I really want you to feel this today. So I want to tell you about my son. My son's name is Nehemiah. What's his name? Nehemiah. Nehemiah is 10 years old. And from the time he was little, I always told Nehemiah, I said, Nehemiah, man, you're the man. Like, you're the man. And just randomly and often throughout the house, I'll just tell him, I'll be like, Nehemiah, you're the man. And so if he's watching this, Nehemiah, you're the man. I always tell him. And sometimes when he's real down and sometimes like, well, I could have done better with this or better with that or better in my schoolwork, better on the basketball court, whatever it is, I say, Nehemiah, it doesn't even matter because Nehemiah, you're the... I just drilled that into him. I just want him to know when he's older that I can do anything. Anything is possible because I'm the man. So I would always tell my son, Nehemiah, you're the man. Now, here's what's interesting. I put him in a sports league just a few years ago. And I don't know if you've ever been to a kid's sports game on a Saturday morning. But it's atrocious. Like, it is. It's crazy. Like, it's just wild. Kids are running back and forth. They don't even halfway know the rules. Refs are just real bad because they don't even know the rules, and they're not calling things on kids that they should, and parents are fighting each other and fighting in the stands, want to fight the coach. And I coach one year. I'm like, hey, don't be fighting me. But parents get all up in arms, and coaches want to fight each other. So if you really want to test if you're a Christian, just show up on a Saturday morning to a kid's sports game because it's crazy. The kids are running around, but I realized this, you know, this past season, they got beat every single game. It was a seven-week season. They got beat every game. They were just bad. Like, Nehemiah's team was bad. He's the man, but his team, not good. But anyway, it's besides the point. But I realized in these moments, like, kids are running all around, and it's crazy and chaotic and hectic. My eyes are always on my son, because I love my son. Doesn't matter how crazy everything gets, there could be 100 kids right in front of me and I could pick out my son just like that because he's my son. And I care about him. I have my eyes on him. I know how he feels. I know if he misses a shot, what he's going through. I know at the end of the game when they lose, like, I know how he's doing. Why? Because he's my son. Like, I've been with him since day one. I know that God formed and fashioned him, but his mama and I, we did something too, you know what I'm saying? That's why he's here. Right? So I know, I just know this kid. I brought him in this world, I'll take him out. But I love him. But I know. And on such a bigger, deeper way, I want you to understand, I want you to catch this today, that this is how God is with us. That his care, his eyes are always on you because he cares about who you are. And the resounding scripture today, the resounding, the voice from the Bible says, listen, I care about who you are, and I know you exactly right where you are, and I love that. Here's the second area that I think God really cares about. God cares about what you face. Yeah, God cares about who you are, but he also cares about what you face. Now, I'm going to jump to the New Testament, Mark 4, and I want you to catch this. I want you to catch today this scripture, this story about what happens with Jesus in the boat. Many of us, this is going to be familiar. Many of you, you grew up in church, and so you kind of know this story. You've heard this story before. Maybe not. Maybe you're newer to the faith, or maybe you just never made your way to that portion of the Bible, and that's fine, wherever you are, even if you're worshiping with us online. I want you to walk through this story with me, because I think there's something powerful that will speak to us today. Here it is, Mark 4. It says this, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat, and they started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon, a fierce storm came up. High winds were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus, check this out. Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus was what? What? Sleeping. Now hold on. I don't do boats anyway. Like, I just don't do boats. I can't do it. I went on a cruise one time. It was bad. I'll never go again. I love you, wife, but don't ask me to do it again. It was one time was too much, all right? I don't like it, but Jesus was sleeping. Have you ever slept in a boat when it was rocking back and forth? Maybe you have. I don't know. It's just not my gifting. But Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. He's not just sitting in a recliner. This man's got his head on a cushion. The disciples woke up, shouted, teacher, don't you, what's this word? Don't you care that we're going to drown? Jesus woke up. He said, all right, fine. He rebuked the wind and the waves, and he said, silence, or some translations say, peace, be still. Suddenly, the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. He asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples were absolutely terrified. They said, who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him? This is a powerful picture of Jesus' his earthly power on the earth. He demonstrates that I have power over the weather. And so I just want you to catch just three details about this story. There's only three details, but I need you to catch this, okay? You ready? How many details are we going to talk through? Just three. There's only three details. Number one, Jesus said they were going to the other side. Number two, just three details. How many details? Okay, just three. Jesus was with them. How many details? Just three. Just catch this. Jesus was at peace. Okay, so there's a storm that frightens even these guys that are experienced fishermen. I mean, they had been on the water. This was not their first time. So for them to be freaking out and thinking, man, we're going under, it was a fierce storm. Pastor Jason said it to us like this last week, that there's no wasted word in the Bible. So when the Bible is written, if the Bible says that there's a fierce storm, a storm is bad enough, but the Bible goes on one level up to say this was a fierce storm. And to even these experienced fishermen, I mean, this was bad. This was real bad. This was not good at all. And Jesus was, what was he doing? This guy's sleeping. So these guys are like, yo, what's going on? But there's only three details that you need to know. Number one, show me, go back one. No, go back one more. Two more for me. One, two. Yeah, there it is. Jesus said that they were going to go to the other side. Jesus was with them, and Jesus was at peace. Just three details. Jesus said, we're going to the other side, and I'm with you. Matter of fact, I'm asleep. This is incredible because here's what it is. I want to drop this into our lap today because I think that one of the tricks of the enemy is to get us to think that when bad things happen, a good God doesn't care. I think that if the enemy can get us to believe that bad things are happening to you, and it's because there's a God in heaven that does not care. I think if he can get you to that place, he's got you right where he needs you. Oh, come on, you know like me. You're like me, that when bad things happen, my first reaction is, God, do you care? And I think I want to untangle, just for a second, I want to untangle maybe some bad theology, because we think bad things happen, that equals God doesn't care. But this is not the truth, friends and family. Wherever you're worshiping with us from, you need to understand that when bad things happen, it's not because God doesn't care. Listen, sometimes bad things happen because it's our own mistakes. And all throughout Scripture, we can see that time and time again. Sometimes we do wrong things, and so we get the prizes, we get the consequences that we deserve. Can anybody say, you've done some wrong things? Raise your hand all over. Raise your hand. You've done some wrong things. The rest of you are lying. But some of us are honest today, and church, we've done some wrong things, and so the consequences, we deserve that. But sometimes bad things happen to good people. There are times in this life where bad things do, in fact, happen to good people. People, you can be right where God wants you, and bad things are going to happen. That's just, we have to untangle in our mind that bad things only happen to bad. Bad things do, in fact, happen to good people. Jesus, the Bible says, it's not on the screens or anything, but Jesus said it this way. Jesus, the Bible says it, that he was full of the Spirit, and the Spirit led him into the wilderness where he was going to be tempted by the enemy. Jesus had this encounter with the enemy, and he was victorious in it, but he had this encounter with the enemy, but the Spirit of the Lord drew him to the desert. These guys are not in the boat by accident. These guys are not in the boat. They're not where where they shouldn't be. They are exactly where they should be, but yet they still encounter storms. And I just want to say to you, never mistake the storms, the trouble, the trials of this life, for God doesn't care. Never mistake that, because that's not true. That's not the truth. You can be right where you need to be. You can be giving and serving, attending church, being on time, and loving your kids, and loving your wife, and doing this thing that we call life, and bad things still are going to happen. New Testament says it like this, that God causes the sun to rise on the just and the unjust. God causes rain to happen and rain to fall on the just and the unjust, the righteous and the unrighteous. Bad things do happen to good people, but I want you to know these three details of this story. Here's the first one. The first one was that God said, hey, we're going to the other side. And I want to drop this in your lap here for today, is that you may be facing something, but God is saying, hey, I'm with you. You can trust me because we're going to the other side. So put this up. Write this in your notes. I can trust him. The disciples then and there needed to realize what we need to hear here and now is that when we face trouble, when we face trial, when I face difficulty, I'm going to the other side and I can trust the God who's going to get me there. We also need to remember this. It's just three details from the story that I'm not alone, that God is with me. And maybe that's the message for somebody today. Maybe that's the message for somebody online, that God is with me. The disciples then and there needed to understand that, wait a second, God said that we were going to go to the other side. He never said it would be easy. He never said there wouldn't be a storm, but he did say we were going to the other side. And wait, hold up just a minute. I think Jesus is still with us. And these disciples had seen Jesus do miracles, so they should have known, wait a second, we're not alone. But also, here's the third thing. They should have understood that, listen, I don't need to worry because he is sleeping. So I think that we're going to be okay. So when storms come to your life and when troubles come to your life, you need to remember just these three details, that God has said, I'm going to get to the other side, and I'm not alone, and I don't need to worry because he's with. Matter of fact, if Jesus is sleeping, then I'm okay. You know when you need to freak out on a plane? If the pilot says, it's time to freak out. That's when you start losing your, but that's when you start going crazy when the pilot, but if the pilot hasn't said that, then you're okay. And I just want to speak to you. I just want to ask you this question. What are you facing today? Maybe you're facing anxiety. Here's what I need you to start telling yourself. I'm going to make it to the other side because God is with me, so I'm not going to worry. Hey, maybe you're facing pain today. I need you to start telling yourself that I'm going to make it through this because God is with me, so I'm not going to worry. Hey, maybe you're facing trial, and maybe you're facing a problem that you've just never seen before. You need to start telling yourself that I'm going to make it through because God is with me, so I'm not going to worry. Hey, maybe you're facing lack in your life. There's something that you don't have, and you're praying, and you're saying, God, I need this from you in my life. You need to start telling your situation. You need to start telling yourself that I'm going to make it through because God is with me, so I'm not going to worry. Is anybody catching that this morning? That this is what God's word said. You need to tell yourself these things. I'm going to make it to the other side. God cares about what I'm facing. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what this week brought you, but I think God sent me to tell you this morning, you're going to make it because he's with you, so there's no need to worry. These disciples, they needed to understand this. They needed to get this. Because I'm telling you, life, if it hasn't already, just keep living. Life will push you to a place where you're questioning, God, do you? And in that moment, you have to realize, man, if the Savior of the world is sleeping, then everything's going to be okay. If he's finding time to just kind of take a nap, then he's good. Jesus was sleeping in the very storm that was keeping them awake. Ooh, catch this morning, church. Jesus sleeps through that which keeps us awake. Bible says this, that God is the God that neither sleeps nor slumbers. So if God is still awake, then why am I staying awake worrying about my problems, worrying about my trouble, worrying about my situation? I might as well go to sleep because the Savior of the world is all good. Are you catching that today? That if God is chilling, if God is not worried, I ought not to be worried, for he cares about you. He cares about what you're facing. This week, tomorrow, Monday morning, somebody's going to face something. Somebody at one of our locations, somebody at Church Online, somebody's going to face something tomorrow that you just never saw coming. But you have to remember the resounding two-word title of this message, and that two words is God cares. You have to take that to heart. You have to take that. I love this. God cares about who you are. He cares about what you face. And here's the third thing I want to give you this morning. He cares about where you're going. I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful that we serve a God that cares about where we're going. Cares about the direction of your life, the direction of my life. Check it out. Here's what David says too. David says in Psalm 37, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Let me read this again. The Bible is meant to be experienced. You don't just breeze past and blow past scriptures like this. You experience these. Let me read this one more time. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail. What's the lie? The lie is God doesn't care about the details. God doesn't care what I'm going through. God can't see this. God can't feel this. God can't understand this. But no, the truth is this, that God directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of your life. And though they stumble, and though the righteous, the godly, they may stumble, they'll never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. I don't know if you've ever been, if you walked like a little baby or something as they're taking their first steps. And it's one of the cutest times. It's one of the most beautiful times in a baby's life. And they're learning how to use their legs and walk. And I don't know, maybe you're a Boy Scout and you help somebody across the street, an old lady across the street or something like that. Or I don't know, maybe there's been somebody that was injured and you kind of just had to be alongside them to walk with them. And it's just great. It's great to be able to just do that for somebody and be that stabilizing force for somebody. And so I love that. But that's the picture that I get when I see a scripture like this, that God walks with us and he cares about where you're going. He cares about your next step. He cares about the steps 2 and 3 ahead. He absolutely does. He cares, and he walks with us. And even though we stumble, that's trial. Even though we stumble, that's trouble. Even though we stumble, that's a bad break that you didn't see coming. That's a situation you didn't really want to have to deal with, but now you're faced with it. When they stumble, he guides them, delights in every detail of their life. This is what God does, because he cares about where you're going. I love this. Romans says this, Paul says this, that we know in what? We know in all things. In everything, God works together for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I love this, that every detour, sometimes life takes you on detours. You thought you'd be somewhere and you're somewhere else. You thought you would have arrived by the destination, but you haven't yet. There's still more in front of you. You thought that, man, I would be at point B, but I'm still stuck here at A. I love this. The scripture is telling us that in all things, in the detours, in the delays of life, God works it for the good of those who love him and called according to his purpose. And God absolutely cares. These scriptures, this is just two scriptures, there's many more that point to the fact that God cares about the direction that he has for you. God cares about where you're going. God cares about how you're getting where you're going. Because oftentimes with God, the journey is just as important, if not more important, than the destination. God cares about where you're going. He cares about what's in front of you. What do you got on a day-to-day basis? I mean, God is large and in charge. God is creator of the universe, the savior of the world. That's who he is. But yet, he's mindful enough to care about, hey, where are your feet stepping next? Hey, what's your next step? He cares about what's next. It moves his heart. I'm convinced of that it moves the heart of God to know, hey, where are you going next? What do you have in front of you? I remember it's a little over 15 years ago that I graduated high school, which is crazy because I look so good. I'm like, man, I don't look like that, but I need help. I need real help. But 15 years ago, a little over 15 years ago, I remember graduating. And man, I was so proud to have graduated high school. And it was an accomplishment in my life. And I remember putting on the cap and the gown and all that stuff. My friends, we were there. And I remember walking down the aisle, you know, you remember that feeling? You're just like, man, I'm the man. Let's go. I'm doing this thing and off to bigger and better things, all that good stuff. And I remember it was a joyous occasion. And I told you I'm one of eight siblings. So I had a whole section. It was like my whole family there to cheer me on. I was so excited. And I remember, though, I had this moment on the stage right before they gave me whatever they give you. I don't even remember, but they give you a box or something like that, a bag. I don't know. A good job, man. Whatever they gave me. I remember before that, I remember looking out and seeing my parents. I remember seeing them just smile, just like ear to ear. And I remember they were so proud of me. And I'm convinced they weren't just proud of me for what I had accomplished, but they were proud of where I was going next. They were proud of my next chapter. They were excited. They were filled with anticipation at where I was going to go next. You see, my parents were amazing parents. My whole life, they've always spoken into my potential. They've always spoken into my future. They've always spoken into my calling. I told them, hey, I want to be a pastor, and I don't know what that looks like, but this is what I'm going to go on to do. And they always spoke into that. They were like, man, you're going to be the best pastor. People are always going to laugh at your jokes. And man, you're going to be one beautiful chocolate preacher up there. We know you will be in the future. And I am. You know, I do my thing. But I remember what they did was they spoke into my next. And can I just tell you, the creator of the universe cares about your next. For where you were was all right. Where you're at right now is where God wants you to be. Oh, baby, but where you're going. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what God has in store for those that love him. And if you love him, he is excited about your next. He is elated. He is like Red Bull caffeinated, like excited about what your next step is. So for those of us in the room that are facing decisions, just know God is excited about your next. For those of us facing a new chapter or a new adventure, God's excited about your yes. He cares about your next. Wherever you're going next, man, he absolutely cares. And he's involved. He's not detached. He's not simply present, but he's right there with you. And he said, listen, I'm with you. Don't even worry. We're getting to the other side, and we're going to do this thing together. One of the devotional books I read, it says, if you and Jesus are connected together, there's nothing that you can't do. I just want to speak that over you today, that there's nothing you can't do. If Jesus is by your side, man, your next is so much greater than where you've been, and God has so much more in store for you, but you have to believe this. Are you understanding that today, church, that God actually cares? I need you to understand that today. Don't believe the lie that he doesn't care. North Lakeland, I'm talking to you. God absolutely cares. I know this week wasn't great, but he cares. I know we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but he cares. Bartow, you might be facing a decision, but God cares. He cares about where you're going next. I want to end on this quick challenge, then we'll be out of here. But this quick challenge I just want to end on, each and every day, here's what I want you to do. I told you what I want you to know, and all that's great, but now we got to do it. James said, don't just be a hearer of God's word, but now go do what it says. And so here's what I want you to do this week, each and every day this week. This is the challenge for us. Thank God for caring about who you are. Each day this week, starting tomorrow morning, man, God, I thank you that you care about who I am. Man, you're involved. I had somebody say that to me recently. Man, Pastor Isaiah, I'm not actually convinced that God cares. I think he cares about people, but I don't think he cares about me. And you just need to know he cares about who you are. He formed and fashioned you, and some of us are more slender. Some of us are more fluffy. Some of us are taller. Some of us are shorter. Some of us, me, a little bit more darker. That's all right. Whatever it is, God knows you, and he formed you, and he's making you into what he wants. He did that on purpose. So go on with your bad self. Walk into work tomorrow like you are the man or the woman because you are fearfully, wonderfully made. Here's the deal. Here's the second thing I want you to do each and every day this week. Talk to him about one thing you're facing. Talk to him. Can I tell you, here's the key? God already knows what you're thinking and feeling, so you might as well talk to him anyway. Like, he already knows what's going on inside, so you might as well talk to him. Hey, God, this is what I'm facing. And God, I know that you, but God, I'm making it to the other side. I will not worry because you are with me. Jesus promised his presence. I will be with you always, even to the very end of the age. So this week, tell him, God, this is what I'm facing. I'm going to be real. I'm going to be honest. But I know I'm making it because you're with me, so I'm not going to worry. Here's the last one. Ask him to guide where you're going. God, I give you this day. This is when you should be praying every morning. God, I give you this day. Now guide where I'm going. be the good shepherd, as the Bible says, that walks with me, that comforts me, that guides me. If we do this, man, I think we'll break this lie. This is two truths and a lie. God cares. Here's the verse I'm going to leave you with, and we're out of here. I love this verse, 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety on him because he what? He cares for you. Some translations say cast all your cares. Here's the last little, Bible nerd out on you for 10 seconds and we're out of here. I love this word to cast. This is not a passive thing. This word is two times in the Bible. First time is when the disciples take off of all their outer garments and they lay it on the donkey so that Jesus could get on the donkey and then ride into Jerusalem. The second time is right here. In other words, when I'm casting my cares, it's a transfer of trust. It's a transfer. I'm taking something that's valuable or burdensome on me and I'm laying it on somebody who is worthy and capable. So this week, Kat, take that thing that is burdensome, that thing that's holding, don't manage it, don't carry it, don't try to take it on your own. Cast it on him, because you're gonna find there's a Savior who cares for you. Let's pray all over the room. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this message today. I thank you that you care about who we are. You care about what we're facing. God, you care about where we're going. Help us to believe that and understand that this week. Help us to transfer that problem, that thought, that decision, that anxiety, that lack, that loss, that pain, that doubt, that whatever that may be, help us to transfer that onto you, for you care for us. We love you. God, we thank you for it. Everyone still head bowed, eye closed at all of our locations. Maybe you heard me speak today and you're like, you know what? I think I need to make God number one in my life. Maybe you say, you know what? God was my number one. I was following him, but somewhere along the rails, I kind of got off, but I'm coming back. I want to start or restart a relationship with you. Friend, can I tell you, that's the best decision you could ever make. But also, look, God cared so much for you that he sent his son to die for you because he cares. The Bible says this, that Jesus, one time, when he was looking at the crowds, looking at the people, he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. That tells me there's a God that cares. When he looks at people, he cares. And he cares so much, he would love a relationship with you. And if you're here today, maybe you're online with us, maybe you're here in the room, you just slip up your hand just saying, you know what, nobody's going to look around, but I'm just saying yes to Jesus today. I need to start or restart a relationship with him. If that's you, would you just raise your hand online? Thank you for your hands. Raise that hand. Would you just, come on, I see him online with us. You can raise your hand. I don't see you, but God sees you. Just pray something like this in your own heart, in your own words. God, I love you. Thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for my sins. Thank you for caring enough about me that you would send your son. Today, I'm saying yes to you. Today, I'm starting or restarting my relationship with you. God, you're going to be number one in my life. I'm going to follow you. God, you have the rest of my life, and I want to follow your purpose, your plan. I'm saying from this moment on, I will never be the same. I accept you into my life in Jesus' name. Come on, we all said? Amen. Look up at me. We just have people make that decision. Come on. That's worth celebrating. Come on.